the beginning of each formal period of meditation as the encouragement before we do anything to take a moment to attune to this present experience. How does the body feel right now? Warm or cool? Heavy or light? How is it? Comfortable? Uncomfortable? There's no right or wrong way for the body to be. This is the starting point for each of us. This body, this time, this place. Here it is. Exactly this way. So the ground of meditation is the awareness of that, the knowing of this pattern of experience. Here is the body. It feels like this. The mood of the mind. Again, how is this? A few days into the retreat, bright spring morning, how is the mind in this moment? Cheerful, busy, sleepy, sad, confused, clear. Again, there's no right or wrong way for the mood of the mind to be. But the beginning point is this awakened awareness, knowing the field of experience as it is right now. With the establishing of this quality of attunement, the heart, the mind attuning to the present reality, then let the system adjust. It's a self-adjusting universe. Informed by that quality of knowing, this awake, aware quality of this mind, this heart of ours, let the system adjust. In terms of the posture, in terms of the focus of the mind, the mental realm. So we begin to get used to this way of allowing mindfulness and wisdom to be the guiding agent. The medium of engagement. Rather than me, the person, doing something to get some result that I have got planned, I wish for. Just as if going for a walk. You can walk quite vigorously with a definite direction, but it's stress-free. You're just going for a walk. The body enjoys the exercise. There's no reason why the practice of meditation can't be exactly the same way. It has a direction, effort is being made, but it's completely stress-free. Non-personal. In this way, the attention is guided towards a quality of openness, inclusivity, spaciousness, the heart open to the present reality, hearing these words that I'm speaking, feeling the sensations of the body, the temperature of the air, the feeling of weight upon the cushion, or the chair, the stool. The heart open to the whole field of experience. And we can use the reflections on anicca, impermanence or uncertainty, dukkha, unsatisfactoriness, incompleteness, the lack of ability to permanently please, and anatta, not self. This whole field of experience, the mental, the physical, it's felt here, it's known here, but this which knows the field of experience, knows the personal, it's not a person, doesn't belong to a person, has no age, no name, no gender, no nationality, no career path, no qualifications, no language. When the heart is open to the present reality, attuned to this timeless quality, the akaliko dhamma, this timeless reality, there's a sense of simplicity, spaciousness, easefulness. But for everyone, there are things that the attention gets snagged upon. A sound that we hear, a particular bird song, someone moving in the room, a sensation in our body, the urge to cough or change our posture. A painful memory or an exciting memory. An upcoming event or meeting, a thing we have to do. Or perhaps some friction, some difficulty between oneself and another person, other people. A regret, a resentment, a fascination, longing to be with someone, fear of being with someone. One of the most effective ways of bringing attention to those snagging points, the snagging list. Those of you in the construction business will recognize the term. The list of snags. Rather than trying to remind oneself that these are empty, these are not self. Mysteriously, sometimes the best way of working with those points of grasping, snagging onto things, is to amplify them. Catching that flow of thought about the thing we regret, that past moment that we long for, the person that we're arguing with, to catch that thought and replay it, amplify it. If you were different, I would be happy. If only I was somewhere else, it would be great. When next week comes, what I'm going to say is, And it's often the case we can't get to the end of the sentence before we start chuckling. It falls apart because of being seen in the clear light of wisdom. When those kind of thoughts and loves and hates and plans and opinions, when they hover around the edges of attention, they're half seen, half discerned, shadowy. So they have a lot of power. Get them front and center, get them to speak up, they fall apart. You don't have to make them fall apart. Their absurdity is obvious to the quality of mindfulness and wisdom. If only I was somebody else, that would be great. Anybody else would do. Just, if only I wasn't me. When we say it out loud, it is really ridiculous. But how much energy is burned nurturing those thoughts, cherishing those attitudes off in the wings of our awareness, half discerned, murmuring away, easily believed. If I could just get away from you, life would be wonderful. If I could just get close to you, life would be wonderful. If only we didn't have these problems with the building, life would be so simple. When we use this kind of a practice, we're not trying to create more conceptual proliferation, but using the capacity to use verbal thought, employ verbal thought to clarify attitudes that are already nascent, active. And when we clarify or repeat these kind of opinions or loves and hates and fears, the point is to notice what is present when it falls apart, when they cease, when that inflated view of ourself or that critical view of ourself, when it falls apart, what's here? Maybe we have issues with being conceited. I'm really the most accomplished meditator on this retreat. You know, other people are kind of, they make effort, yes, good, but really, I am actually the most accomplished person here. Say that clearly and get that front and center. How absurd, how ridiculous. How pompous, foolish. It falls apart. What's present when it ceases, when it falls apart? Simplicity, spaciousness, peacefulness. And in that moment, no sense of self. Let that into the heart. Let that be fully known. When the grasping stops, when the belief in these opinions and fears and hopes, aversions, when they cease, what is present every time? There's a simplicity, a purity, a naturalness, a spaciousness. Awareness itself has no language, has no structure, no form. But it knows form and structure, language, concepts. this quality of knowing, awakened awareness. It knows the world, the patterns of this body, this mind, this life, the field of experience and the world around us. It knows the realm of form, but in itself it is formless, unlocated. 3-dimensional space only applies to Rupa Khanda, the world of material form. 3-dimensional space doesn't apply in the realm of mind. So this quality of knowing, this awakened awareness, it isn't anywhere. We say life is experienced here, but that's a here without a there. It's known in this heart, present, felt, known. But all those structures of time, location, identity, these are all aspects of the conditioned realm. The quality of knowing is free of those structures, free of those limitations. Has no form, no language. Timeless, non-personal. It knows the world, lokavitu. We talk about that quality of the Buddha. It's not just the quality of Gautama Buddha who lived 2,600 years ago, but it's the Buddha of this very awareness, that awake aware quality. It knows the world, but it transcends the world, lokuttara. Perfectly attuned to the world. Vijja-charana-sampanno, perfectly attuned, accomplished in awareness, but also in conduct. It's attuned to the world, but not limited by the world. When the Buddha defined what is meant by the world, we often would assume it's, well, the planet and the stars and the sun and the moon, the universe, the earth we're walking on. But the Buddha made it very clear that whereby one is a perceiver of the world and a conceiver of the world, lokasanyi, a perceiver of the world, lokamani, a conceiver of the world. That is what is called the world in this Dhamma and discipline. And what is it whereby one is a perceiver and a conceiver of the world? The eye, the ear, the nose, the tongue, the body, the mind. So in terms of the Buddha's teaching, the world is the world of our experience. Each of us experiences our version of the world, woven together out of seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching. And when that field of experience is known, free of delusion, free of identification, free of grasping, this is lokavitu, knowing the world. The heart is attuned to the world, but not limited by it, not burdened or stressed by it. Now the process of insight meditation, vipassana, is establishing this quality of awakened awareness, this vijja-dhatu, this knowing quality that fully knows the world, is attuned to the world, participates in the world. but is unentangled, unlimited, unburdened by those patterns that form the world of sight, sound, smell, taste, touch, thought, emotion. And in these moments when that's clear, when the grasping stops, the identification stops, and there is this simplicity of knowing, feel that. Let that in. Let that be as fully conscious as possible. And let the quality of that speak for itself. Simple, peaceful, present, profound, immeasurable, unfathomable.
Just one quick announcement. If anyone has an extra chanting book or sees one out there, one you might have taken to your room to look over, but if there are any extras, could you please bring that to the office? Thank you.